Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do praise and do magnify your name today. We honor your name today. We acknowledge you today, O God. We thank you, Lord, for our life, our health. We thank you, Lord, that our families are complete in you. We thank you, Lord, for every good and perfect gift because it comes from you. Father God, we thank you for Bible study on tonight. Holy Spirit, have your way. Reveal the word to us tonight. Lead us and guide us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the eyes and the ears of our understanding be broadened, be heightened, be anointed tonight, O God. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, speak to our hearts tonight. Lead and guide. And Father God, we thank you for spiritual authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Satan, the Lord God, we beat you in this satanic cohort. You are under our feet. We say, get thee behind us, Satan. We curse you from the root and command to be bound in Jesus' name. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the harvest on the seed sown tonight. We thank you for 30, 60, 100-fold, even a 1,000-fold increase in blessing in Jesus' name. And we give you the praise, and we give you the honor, and we give you the glory. Hallelujah. We bless your name in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We are starting. God bless you all. Special blessing on you tonight. We're starting a new series. And this series is the nine fruit of the Spirit. The nine fruit of the Spirit. And it's significant that we see nine in a lot of special anointings and giftings in the Word of God.
Amen.
Gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We see in Genesis 1 that God said nine times, and the world was here. We was here. Go ahead. Nine, to me, is a symbol of overflow. Nine is a symbol of more abundant life. Nine is a symbol of more than enough.
Thank you, Lord.
Nine is a symbol of my cup is running over. So in looking at the dying fruit of the Spirit, we see a message from God, even in the number, that we're going to be the blessing because we have more than enough. What happens
when
you get more than enough? When you get blessed and someone drops off to your house 10 cases of Bush's baked beans.
You like baked beans.
What you going to do with more than enough of Bush's baked beans? You're going to give them to some other folks. Is that
there.
There. Amen.
Amen.
More than enough.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, glory to God. You're walking down the street and your foot steps on what looks like a lottery ticket and it sticks to your foot. You get it off the, you say, oh, there's a lottery ticket. And come to find out that's the winning ticket for $2 billion.
Wow.
You got more than enough.
More than enough.
Share.
Yeah, come on now. So
that's
when you,
right. Yeah.
That's more than enough. When you see nine, that's the overflow.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's just the revelation that I got. Now, I don't know. It may be in the Bible somewhere. Somebody may have exegesis that in the Bible and come up with the fact that that's what that means. This is just what Brother Bird receives, okay?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we're going to deal with the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23. Wow. Now I want to share with y'all for information. Starting this coming Sunday, we will start taking registration for the special anointed semester, the fifth semester of the Institute of Biblical Learning. And we share with you how that would operate. And it's going to be a blessed, supernatural semester. Because after that semester, you will not be the same.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. I want y'all to understand one of these things. We're going to get ready to get into the lesson tonight. That our co-workers in the kingdom are different from other folks going to church. The co-workers in the kingdom on this side of the body of Christ, we got wristbands in our pocket, giving up to people. We know stuff that a lot of other Christians don't even think it's necessary to know. But
amen.
We know about how many words in the Bible, how many chapters in the Bible. We know stuff like this. We know where to find stuff, not just the quote of Scripture, because folks in jail that don't know Christ, don't love Christ, don't even, they have nothing else to do, so they read the Word of God. And they learn the Scripture just to be doing stuff. And they know the answer. They know the Scriptures. But we know them because it's in our hearts. Wow. It done something to us. It's not just some words on a page to us. It's not just something that somebody quoted and we remembered what they quoted. Others, sometimes they quote stuff because they heard somebody quote stuff and it's the wrong stuff, it ain't in the Bible, or it ain't like that in the Bible. But we know what we know, what we know, because we know the Word of God, because we love Him.
Amen.
And folk will know, they will come out and say, oh, you're from the Potter's house, aren't you? So whipped out a wristband.
Amen.
They're going to say, you're from the Potter's house, because you've got a smile on your face, because you're trying to help somebody, not to hurt them.
Amen.
You got a word of
right.
Uplifting and encouraging, not co-signing somebody doing a litany of what the devil is doing. We know what he's doing already. Lord have mercy. They don't know you from the Potter's house because signs and wonders is following you. Look back over your shoulder. Signs and wonders. Healing, delivering.
Hallelujah.
Watch out now. Not because the pastor is so great, but because God is.
Amen. Amen.
So everybody asks you, what's the church you go to? You just say, I'm going to the Potter's house. They may ask you, after you done laid hands on somebody in a hospital room and prayed for them, they got out the bed, and the doctor checked him out and said, I don't know what happened, but the cancer's gone. You can go home. They're going to ask you what church you belong to.
That's right.
Where are you a co-worker in the kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to hear me use the phraseology co-worker more than you're going to hear me say member. Because a lot of folks, members, of stuff, and they try to pull it down. I don't want members. I want co-workers.
Amen.
I want somebody at the wheel with me.
Mm-hmm.
This load is too heavy for one man to carry.
Amen.
One woman to carry.
Amen.
One person to carry.
Oh, yes.
So, hallelujah. God bless you all that's on this call. And I know that some folk are working. I understand that. I know some folk are have appointments and stuff like that because they do doctor's appointments. But I know they have the stuff. Life is going on. Everybody that's still on this side of the dirt. I understand that. I do know that many that get on this call are serious about their work.
Amen.
About being
Amen.
The child of the Most High God. So I thank God for y'all being serious. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we're going to get ready, fruit of the Spirit. And you've heard Neil Reyes say this before, that the fruit of the Spirit is like the character you need to have in order to receive a lot of other stuff from God, like the Holy Spirit working through you, with the gift of the Holy Spirit. It prepares you. It sets you up to receive more.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hopefully you got your pens and your pencils
Amen.
Ready.
Amen.
We're starting a new two-week series. It's going to be covering the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit as found in the book of Galatians. And as we do this, we're going to dive into each individual fruit and explain their characteristics and exactly what they look like and what they mean to you as a believer. If you're joining us today for the first time, I also invite you to go back and check out our older teachings. Over the last 2 weeks, we just finished doing a series on the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, in there, one of the things we talk about is that it says that the Holy Spirit gives those gifts to each as he wills. One of the things we mentioned in that teaching is that there's nothing you can do to earn the gifts of the Holy Spirit. However, there are things you can do to position yourselves to be able to receive them. One of the things that I stated as key within that series is that what you can do to position yourself to receive the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit is to be able to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. So, as I was before the Lord, he instructed me, let's go cover the fruits of the Spirit. The essence of the fruits of the Spirit is that when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, you know, it tells us in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, that basically you're saved. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You've been born again, as described in the Bible. It doesn't matter what doctrine you're part of. That doesn't matter what faith you're part of. If you believe in God and you believe in Jesus, that is the way to heaven. As we do that, though, once a believer turns around and receives Jesus in their heart, then they must become Christ-like. In other words, they have gotten rid of the old man and taken on the new. They've taken on their new spirit. But as they've done that, eventually as the believer grows, they will begin to become more Christ-like. In fact, that's what the term Christian means. The term Christian simply means Christ-like. And when we talk about being Christ-like, we're specifically talking about being like Christ, like Jesus Christ. So we're taking his character and we're putting it on us. I heard a reference recently, and I thought it was an excellent reference, about a hand and a glove. If we were a glove, okay, and as we're a glove, Jesus would be the hand that goes inside that glove. In other words, as believers, we're supposed to be so attuned to the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to be so spirit-filled and filled with Christ's character that our person, who we are, simply becomes a glove that Christ is able to wear and able to move or shape however he wants. We become his glove and he becomes our internal source. That's what it means to be Christian or to become Christ-like. One of the most foundational teachings we can give within the body of Christ is to study the fruits of the Spirit. There are nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, and like I said, we're going to cover them starting this week. We'll cover them all this week and starting next week, and we'll go ahead and break down each individual one. I will tell you that years and years ago, when I first had learned how to speak in tongues and pray in the Spirit, if you don't know what that is, we have teachings that you can reference on that. We have a three-part teaching on how to pray in the Spirit. We also turn around, that was part of our prayer series. We also recently taught on the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we talked about the gift of diverse tongues. Okay, so we've broken this down. I invite you to go back and check those out. But I remember after I first learned how to speak in tongues, shortly after that, I was reading the Word, and I found where Paul said that if you know how to speak in tongues, you should then pray on how to interpret tongues. So I remember going before the Lord and saying, Lord, I know that I pray in tongues, but I want to know what I'm saying or to be able to interpret it. I want to be able to have the gift of interpreting tongues. And so one of the things I went for him, and I just said, what is it I need to do in order to get that? Because I read where it said the Holy Spirit gives them to each as he wills. I said, how do I qualify for that? And when I asked him how I qualify for that, one of the things he told me, now this is something he told me specifically, I'm not saying it goes for everybody, but he told me specifically, he took me to the book of Galatians, and he showed me the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. And he said, when you grow in all 9 of these gifts, you will have qualified to receive the gifts, the additional gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, what I didn't recognize at the time was that I had already had some gifts that were operating in me since the day I got saved. But as I grew in the fruits of the Holy Spirit and new gifts of the Holy Spirit grew in me. So as I grew in the fruit of the Spirit, more gifts of the Holy Spirit started to develop in me. And as I started to study those gifts more, greater confidence came on, and I became what I would describe as more productive for the body of Christ. I became more impactful. You know, the gifts of the Holy Spirit we just finished describing are for the building up of the body of Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is for the building up of the person of Christ. In other words, meaning you, the person of Christ within you, that's for the building up of the believer. And as you build within these 9 fruits, you'll find yourself growing and being able to reach more people around you. You know, one of the important things is as we begin to usher in the great soul harvest of the end times, as we begin to do that, we're going to witness to thousands and thousands of people, whether you recognize it or not. Every person will be able to. But the loudest way for you to witness is by leading through your actions and your character. Yes, you can open the door with the word sometimes, but it's always your actions and your character that will speak the loudest. I want to take you to the word, and let's go ahead and cover what the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit are. This is out of the book of Galatians. This is going to be chapter 5, and we're going to do verses 22 and 23. Let's read. So Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That's also patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. One of the things I want to talk about is that as a believer, as we begin to grow our personal relationship with the Holy Spirit and with the Lord, we will begin to develop maturity. You know, if we were to compare this to planting a seed in the ground, let's say, for example, you wanted a lemon tree. If you go and take a lemon seed and you plant it in the ground, eventually what's going to grow first are the roots. And after the root system is established, eventually you're going to have something sprout out of the ground, and it's going to be the beginning of the tree. And as that tree begins to grow up, eventually it's going to get bigger, and it's going to produce leaves. And eventually on that tree, when the season comes around, when you're in season, you're going to have lemons develop on that tree. In other words, the fruit is going to develop on that tree. As a believer, we are much the same. When a seed has been planted in us, before you'll ever see the fruit of that seed, a root system must grow first. Now, as believers and as people, any seed you plant within your heart will always grow. It doesn't just mean that your heart's only conditioned to grow good seed. Your heart is conditioned to grow whatever seed it comes in contact with. So whether you're planting good seeds or whether you're planting negative or bad seeds, those seeds are going to grow. And when they grow, as the seed is planted and as they grow, a root system will develop. What we want to help you with is understanding which types of seeds to plant within your life. You know, when you plant negative seeds or bad seeds in your heart, as you plant that seed in your heart and it begins to grow, that's what's known as a foothold. But as those root systems take and they really grow, now you've got, and as the, you know, as the tree comes out and the fruit produces, now you've got what's known as a stronghold. What we want to do is we want to help you with the conditioning of your heart by growing with the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit to be able to understand how to condition your heart so that it grows the right way, the right type of seed. And we want to show you how to place the right seeds in your heart, which are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And as you turn around and as you grow, as you plant that seed within you and those fruits begin to grow, we want to show you what they look like and how to operate in them. Even if you didn't desire to gain any of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, which you should because those are for the building up of the body of Christ. They're not to build you up or make you look holy. They're to build up the body of Christ. But as you grow in these gifts, or these fruits, the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit, your witness and your impact for the Lord will be much stronger. But in addition to that, the quality of your life will be highly enriched. Guys, we're excited about starting this new series, and we invite you to stay along with us and to grow with us over the next 2 weeks. In addition to that, if you have any questions, we invite you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com, where you can reach us through our contact page. If there's subjects that are topics you have questions about or would like to learn on, submit them to us. We'll go before the Lord and pray and be teach on those as they were led to do. In addition to that, you can also connect with us on our social media. You can connect with us on our YouTube channel, which we invite you to subscribe and share with your friends. You can also find us on our Facebook page or Twitter. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord, and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Hallelujah. Now, before we go into discussion, Pastor, I want to share this. Some different translations, versions of the Bible have different words. For instance, as he was sharing, that was not the King James, but it was Lord, peace, long-suffering. Now, in the King James, I think it's gentleness there, but kindness is the version that he read, kindness and goodness. Faith, then gentleness. And gentleness, meekness, is changed to gentleness, as in self-control. All the same thing. All the same thing. Long-suffering is patience. All right, Pastor Peaches, you can go ahead while I key up the next speaker.
Any questions or clarity?
Mm-hmm.
We know the scripture, Galatians 5:22-23, they name the fruits of the fruit of the Spirit. Any comments?
Well, we know, start with the seed, you get a foothold, let it germinate and grow, it's going to be a stronghold.
That's why when we see things happening, we got to nip it in the bud. And the longer you allow things to stay around, the harder it is to get rid of it. That's just like, have you ever seen in a dilapidated building, you see a tree growing out the crack up in the building?
Yes.
That's because the wind blew it in there and nobody... I guess it's coming around to clean the cracks and crevices. And it started out as a little leaf and a little stem.
Mm-hmm.
After a while, it looks like a full-blown tree. And you wonder how in the world a tree growing out of our building.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I've seen that. Uh-huh.
That little seed started out. And imagine it as a little toehold. And nobody cleaned it out. Nobody just left it there. Came a I always say a foothold and a stronghold.
Yeah.
Getting bigger and bigger. That's just like weeds in your garden. If you don't get the weed out, after a while you wonder how in the world. And that stem of it gets thicker and thicker and thicker. And its roots are going deeper and deeper and deeper. And it's harder for you to get it out of your garden. Because if you don't get the root, you'll pull it up and it's going to keep on coming back.
That goes for good seed and bad seed.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to plant good seed.
Oh, yes.
Because still attributes will still happen.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Peaches, may I interject?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I like what he said. It becomes
really a toehold, a foothold, then a stronghold, and then it's going to be actually a pothole. So that was interesting, his phraseology. That's all I wanted to say. Back to you, Pastor Peter. Do we have any, how much time we have left?
I'm looking at the clock. Wait a minute. Come on. One more minute.
Power on. Bluetooth pairing.
One more minute.
Bluetooth connected.
The seeds must be planted in order to grow, good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
Something has to be put in the ground, and you want it to be on fertile ground.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to grow strong in the Lord, you want to make sure that you keep the weeds away from the seeds,
mm-hmm.
away from the roots. So you have to cultivate it and watch it and take care of it. Watch what goes around it.
That's a chief.
May I piggyback just a quick, you got about 30 seconds left?
Yes, let me ask.
Our teaching is right on, because we talked about what you think,
mm-hmm.
what you say, what you do are seeds that are planted in your garden. And the seeds that are planted in your heart, it's harder to get rid of the seeds that are planted just in your mind or in your thoughts. You know, if it goes down to your heart, it's really hard to get them out.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But whatever,
yes.
whatever's sown in you, it's gonna reap. It's gonna grow.
Yes.
So just remember, whether it be good or bad, it's gonna grow. Thank you, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Tell my Pastor.
Today's topic that we're discussing is called love fruit. Again, today's topic that we're discussing is called love fruit. We're continuing our series on the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. And as we do this week and next week, we're going to be going into each individual fruit and explaining what they are and how to grow in them. The reason why this is important is as a believer grows in Christ and as they mature as a believer, these fruits right here are to be evident within their life. In other words, this is how you're able to tell a mature believer. You know, one of the things that the world's popular on telling us is that we're not called to judge. However, the Word tells us in the Bible that we're to judge a tree by its fruits. The way we're able to judge a tree by its fruits is what kind of fruit it's producing. These are the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit that we're studying. And these fruits, if a believer is walking with the Lord and is growing and maturing within their Christian walk, which means to be Christ-like, as they're growing in their walk with the Lord, and if they're growing in a character that is like Christ, then these gifts should be evident. Today's gift that we're studying, or the fruit we're studying, I should say, is called love. So today's fruit is love. Now what I want to do is take you right to the Word and go to our foundation scripture that we'll be staying on throughout the course of this series. And this is the scripture where it talks about all nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. It's actually found in Galatians, and it's in chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. Let's go ahead and read. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. I also said long-suffering, the same thing as patience. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. I'm going to read that one more time. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. So as we talk about growing in the fruit or growing in Christ, one of the things that we just finished teaching on is we just finished a two-week series talking about the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Those gifts that we talked about, and I've referred to them in this teaching already, those are the gifts that are meant for the building up of the body of Christ. In other words, the edification, the building up of the body of Christ. These fruits right here are meant for the building up of the person of Christ. Now, what I mean by the person of Christ, because we're talking about the person of Christ within the believer. So the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are meant for the building up of the body of Christ. The nine fruits of the Holy Spirit are meant for building up the person or believer in Christ. Okay? So as we begin to study that, and as we begin to understand that, One of the things we need to understand is how love operates in accordance to the word. In other words, how does Christ feel about love? How important is love to Christ? Well, I will tell you that one of the things it tells us is that, you know, you can operate in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but if you don't have love operating in you, it means nothing. You've got to be able to operate in love. And one of the things that I will tell you is that love is the, as a believer, love is our greatest form of power we can operate in. I'm going to say that again because that's a bold statement, but something that you may have not heard or be familiar with. Love as a believer, love is the greatest form of power we can operate in. When a believer cultivates love within their life, everything within their world and around them changes. The way they react to people changes. The way they react to situations changes. Their personal relationship with the Lord changes. The personal relationship with people changes. Here's a big one. Their personal relationship with their self changes. There are many people who think high of others but think very low of themselves. In other words, they have a low self-esteem, meaning they have a low form of self-image. They don't think highly of themselves. They think they're failures or that there's something wrong. When we grow in love as a believer, we can grow in all areas of our life. The greatest act of love that mankind has ever witnessed is when Jesus willingly laid down his life for our sake, for our sins, so that we can be reunited with the Father. That is the greatest act of love we've ever seen. And as a parent, the greatest act of love we've ever seen a parent commit is when God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to the earth, that he would be a sacrifice for us so that we'd be able to be recompensed or reunited with the Lord, so that we'd be able to be reunited with him. When we talk about that, that is such a powerful act of love. So as we study love, what is love to God, or how important is our love to God? Well, I want to take you to a scripture. This is actually Jesus talking, and he's talking in the book of Matthew chapter 22, and he's telling us what the greatest commandment of all commandments is. Let's go ahead and turn to that. We're going to go to Matthew 22, 37 through 39. Ready? Let's read. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." So again, the first commandment, the first and greatest commandment is that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second commandment, which is just like the first, is that you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, when we talk about this, this is Jesus talking about the greatest commandment that we have to obey or that we have to adhere to. But one of the things that throws believers off is that in here, in verse 37, it says that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. But sometimes people think that they list mind twice. Why? Well, because if you've heard people teach, and I know if you've heard me teach, you've heard me refer to it, the Bible tells us that the soul is comprised of three entities. It's your mind, it's your will, and it's your emotions. So why does this tell us that we're to love the Lord God with all our heart, with all our soul or mind, and then with all our mind? Why would it say that twice? Well, it's actually referring to two different things. I'm going to break that down real quick. With all your heart refers to your spirit. So you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart. That refers to your spirit is what that's translating to. When it says with all your soul is comprised of your mind, your will, and your emotions. In other words, your thinker, your feeler, and your chooser, okay? You think with your mind, you feel with your emotions, and you choose with your will. And then when it says, and with all your mind, that's talking about your intellect. So it's actually breaking this down. This is Jesus breaking this down into three different areas. He said we're to love the Lord God with all of our heart, in other words, with all of our spirit being. We're to love him with all of our soul, meaning with our thoughts, our will, and our emotions, our feelings. Okay, so with our thoughts, our choice, and with our emotions, our feelings. And then it says, and with all your mind means with all your intellect. In other words, you're to dedicate your intellect to knowing God's word, and you're to love him with that. You're to love him with your intellect as well as with your heart, as well as with your soul. And then it turns around and talks about that you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Okay? So how do we want? How do we love our neighbors? Or how do we love ourselves? Or how do we love God? I mean, it says that we're supposed to love God, and it says we're supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves. But what is the definition for love, or what is the guideline, so to speak, of what love looks like? I mean, you know, for you, what if love for you looked like, you know, that you are nice to people, but when they make you upset, you go and slap them in the face. And what if for me, love was when I turn around and I'm nice to people and I want to show them love, I give them a hug. Or what if for someone else it's that, you know, for love for them is that they raise their voice and yell at them. And so first of all, those are all bad examples of love. That's not what love is at all. Maybe the hugging one would be nice. But in other words, what are our guidelines for love? How do we know what love looks like? Well, I'm going to take you to where it's known as the chapter of love, and we're going to go through exactly what love is. This is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's go ahead and read. This is going to be verses 4 through 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's read. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 through 8, this is where it gives us the guidelines for love. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. In other words, it's not prideful. It is not puffed up. It does not boast. Love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. It is not provoked and thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never fails. I'm going to read it one more time. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes in all things, endures all things, love never fails. That is what our definition of love is. As we start to grow in the character or the fruit of Christ, or I should say, as we grow in the character of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit will be evident to others within our lives. One of the things I've already said in this series is that the loudest way to minister or to witness to anyone within this world, believer or non-believer, is to do it through your actions. It's how you live your life. Yes, there will come a point where your words mean something, but far before your words can get attention to people, your actions and how you live will mean something first. People are always watching you as a believer, whether you recognize it or not. They're always wanting to see whether you're going to slip up or you're going to prove what the world feels about believers is correct. When we cultivate a life in Christ and character in Christ and we commit ourselves to maturing in our relationship with him and maturing in his character, we will have these gifts as evidence within our lives. Guys, I will tell you that as we study these fruits, and I know I call them gifts sometimes because I do feel they're gifts, but as we study these fruits, I will tell you that sometimes these fruits can take years to fully develop in someone's life. I will also tell you that just because I said it can take years doesn't mean it has to. It depends on what you put in. You know, you get out what you put in. If you work hard on this, you can grow in this. But it takes time for these fruits to mature. Just like a regular tree in the natural, it takes time when you plant the seed. It takes time for that to grow big enough to where it's even going to be a tree and to where it can even start to produce fruit. And sometimes its first season of fruit doesn't yield the best. Sometimes it takes time. It takes years. But I will also tell you that as you do that, this is something that as a believer, you'll never walk away from. These are one of those tenets within our faith that as a believer, the fruits of the Spirit are something we're to cultivate within our daily lives, but they're something that should always remain that we constantly continue to grow and perfect in as we grow with our relationship with the Lord. Guys, as always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com. You can also connect with us on our social media. You can find us on our YouTube channel, Facebook, or Twitter. We invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel and share that with your friends. Also, if there are areas that you'd like to learn about or you have questions in, feel free to go to our website at neilreyes.com, go to the contact page and send us a quick form with your question. We'd be happy to go before the Lord and pray about those and teach on those subjects as we're led. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Power on.
Hallelujah.
Any questions? Clarity?
It seems the better we maintain and grow our fruit, the better we can help the body of Christ. But everybody is different on different levels, but we're striving for the first same thing. That's why it behooves all of us to prune our fruit, take care of it, as well as we pray, so we can bring our best self to being the best fruit we can be. When we come together as the body of Christ, everybody is on their best on purpose, because it helps help us one of another. Iron sharpens iron, and we are brother's keeper. So, but we have to keep ourselves first and doing it on purpose, because it's personable. Each person has to take care of their own fruit, but their desire is to be more like Christ-like.
Bluetooth pairing.
May I suggest too?
May I suggest too?
Yeah. A lot of people don't know, from a seed, sometimes it takes years before the first fruit shows.
Amen.
Like lemon seed, one of my sons growing a lemon tree, it took about 2 years before fruit could be seen.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing for apples. But, you know, I've talked several times about Johnny Appleseed. He went around planting apple seeds. They didn't just spring up overnight. He's planted seeds. It takes about 2 years before the fruit actually.
Yes.
That's why one of the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. That means to be patient. That's why we got to be patient with ourselves. Don't beat up on yourself, and we have to be patient with others. You know, and we
do. That's right.
We do that because they are not. We may be further along than they are, or they may be further along in the fruit of the Spirit than we are. So we definitely have to deal with that. Understand that it's a process. It's not like we accept Jesus Christ, our personal Savior today, and tomorrow we got the fruit of the Spirit manifested in our lives. It would be nice. I mean, that almost sounds like, y'all remember the fairy tale, Jack and the Beanstalk?
Mm-hmm.
The seed?
Yes.
And overnight, it came. That's a fairy tale, y'all.
Wow.
It certainly is. Okay. Pastor, I like what you're talking about. I like when you say, watch, you know, my dust. It means you're still in the process of being formed. And there are times that we can go off track or just forget or just know that we're not complete. So we're reminding others as well as ourselves that I'm not a finished product, but I'm being worked on and I'm mindful of it. So please watch my dust. Don't judge me right now because I'm still growing.
Amen. And that's one of the things that people misconstrue what Matthew 7 is talking about. It talks about judge not, ye be that judge, but then it goes on, you know, it really talks more. It doesn't say that you don't judge, that you don't do it outwardly, because down further it says you'll know them by the fruit. That's a process. That's
true.
Between you plant the seed, and then the next day after you plant the seed, you go out there, boy, ain't no fruit, ain't nothing. Keep your mouth shut. It's going to take a little time. And so the time from the verse 1 to maybe, what is that, 13 or 14, you shall know them by that fruit. It's a good tree. You're gonna get it sometimes, like you said, it don't have to take years, but it can take years. I know some folks, sometimes it doesn't take 50 years. They still aren't there yet.
Something's wrong there.
You have to be under the right teaching.
Amen.
It's important, being a fruit. And one of the things that we're dealing with, and I thank God how he has orchestrated that stuff, because he had the teaching on the prayer, the nine types of prayer. The fruit of the Spirit, that's getting that character. I mentioned about character this morning. The character.
Yes.
And then, so we be prepared, the next teaching is going to be the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So mm-hmm. it's all in an order. We want to be ready to receive, because we don't want to get all these gifts and we don't have love, joy, and all that kind of good stuff, because it don't profit us nothing. We're walking around with gifts for our own amusement or our own being puffed up and prideful and stuff like that. We got to make sure we got this thing right. So that's why there's humbleness and all that kind of stuff is in there. We got to get the fruit.
Thank you for time, my pastor.
Okay, I'm sorry. All right. Praise the Lord.
I'm sorry. So this is a ding, 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 ding.
Okay.
Today's topic that we're going to be speaking about is called joy fruit. Again, today's topic that we're speaking about is called joy fruit. Right now, we're studying the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. And as we're studying the nine fruits of the Spirit, yesterday we covered the fruit of love, and today we're covering the second fruit, the fruit of joy. One of the things we just finished teaching in our previous weeks and the 2 weeks prior is we just finished teaching on the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. One of the things that we mentioned in the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit is that there's nothing you can do to earn those gifts. However, there are things you can do to position yourselves to receive them. Specifically, what I named was something that I experienced in my own life that the Lord spoke to me years ago. And when I was first seeking the additional gifts of the Holy Spirit and asking the Lord about how you receive those and how you qualify for those, one of the things he instructed me is that if I would grow and if I would focus to grow in the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, if I would focus on growing in those areas within my character, it would position me to qualify me to receive additional gifts of the Holy Spirit. When we started teaching on that series, one of the things the Lord instructed me to do is to write afterwards, go into the nine fruits of the Spirit. Now, one of the things we mentioned is that the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are meant for the building up or edification of the body of Christ. The nine fruits of the Holy Spirit are meant for the building up or edification of the person of Christ. In other words, meaning the individual person and Christ within them. So I'm going to say that again. The nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are meant for the building up of the body of Christ. But these nine fruits of the Holy Spirit are meant for the building up of the person. They're meant for the building up of the believer by building up Christ's character within you. After all, the term Christian simply means to be Christ-like. So as we study and we grow in God's character, it's important for us to understand the attributes around his character. These nine fruits tell us that in the Word, it tells us that as we grow in maturity in our relationship with the Lord, that these fruits will become evident within our lives. In other words, when people see us, it tells us in the Word that you judge a tree by its fruit. When people see us, they'll be able to recognize these fruits within our life. You know, if you decide to go down your neighborhood for a walk this evening or tomorrow morning or whenever, as you're walking around your block, if you're walking and a person has a fruit tree in their front yard and you look up and they have apples, how do you know it's an apple tree? Because you recognize it by its fruit. That's why it's so important for us to cultivate these fruits of the Spirit within our life. I want to take you right to our foundation scripture. This is out of the book of Galatians chapter 5, and this is verses 22 through 23. And this is where it lists the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. Let's read. So Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So the second fruit that it lists to us is joy. But what exactly is joy? Well, when we talk about these fruits, we're going to talk about specific characteristics that form around this. And as a believer, basically, if you're walking around fully developed and fully mature in Christ, you would have all nine of these fruits hanging off you for display unto the world. Remember, as believers, we always witness first with our actions and our lives before we witness with our words. Not to say that your words won't have effect. Not to say that your words won't have answer those. But for most people who are not called to a pulpit or speaking of some sort, the loudest way you're ever going to witness is through your personal actions. It's when you show up to work on a daily basis and the person in the corner is watching you that you may not know about. It's when you turn around and you go to your kids' soccer games or baseball games or sports activities and the other parents are watching you without you knowing. It's when you go to the grocery store and the lady or person, man, whatever, who works the checkout stand watches you and your family and how you conduct yourselves. It's when you go to your favorite restaurant and the waiting staff or management staff or other patrons who frequent there as well watch you and study you. The fruits of the Spirit are how we witness to others, because when they see God's character on us, they know something's different about us and they want to be part of that as well. And that's when the intrigue will set in and they'll ask you about your walk with the Lord. That also opens the doors for you to be able to minister to them. Now, this is why joy is so important. Joy has a specific attribute related to strength. I want to take you now to Nehemiah. We're going to go to Nehemiah 8:10, and I want to read this with you. Let's read the scripture, and we're going to go into this. So Nehemiah 8:10, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, I'm going to bring you back to that scripture and share a real quick personal story out of my life that I experienced a while back. But before I do, joy is equated to strength with the Lord. In fact, it tells us specifically in that verse that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So the joy of the Lord in us is our strength. When we're not experiencing that joy, or when more importantly, because that's not a feeling, that's an acknowledgement. When we're not focused on the Lord's joy, our strength is depleted or dissipated. And as our strength is dissipated, or in other words, it vanishes, as our strength is vanishing, we become susceptible and open to attack. In fact, I will tell you that if I were doing a deep dive study on deliverance from a spirit of depression, I would tell you that we would need to start sometimes right with joy. Not always, but in most cases, it's with joy. When people have joy exit their lives, it opens the door for something else. And as it opens the door for something else, oftentimes the enemy wants to come in and fill that with shame, fear, and other items like that that open the door to a spirit of depression, which oppresses you as a believer or as a person can oppress you. I want to tell you that joy is so important. And if you're feeling down today, you need to focus more on God and his love for you and his joy than you do on your current situation. Let's go into another scripture. The next scripture I want to read you is Psalms 28:7. Let's read. So Psalms 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. One of the things that this scripture talks about is it says that the Lord's my strength and my shield, meaning he's my strength. He's what gives me strength. He's what gives me power to endure. He gives me strength. But it says he's also my shield. That's an armor of protection, meaning you're able to deflect things from coming against you. And as it talks about that, it says that my heart trusted in him, meaning that when we have joy in the Lord and we cultivate joy in the Lord, that doesn't mean that everything around us has to be just hunky-dory or okay. In fact, sometimes there may be a storm brewing all around you. But on the inside, if you're calm and have joy and are trusting in your heart in the Lord, you know that things are going to be okay. Why? Because his word says it has to be okay. Now, if you want to get through that situation quicker, then put your words in check, because your words will either bring life or death to that situation. That's spoken to us in the word. Are you magnifying that problem by continually speaking about it and the negative effects of it, or are you magnifying God and him by talking about his goodness and his word and how he's going to deliver you? Your words have a big impact on your life. And that's a sword that you have. But your strength and your shield comes from the Lord's joy. In addition to that, it says that not only does your heart trust them, but your heart greatly rejoices with them. And you'll lift them up with a song of praise. In other words, one of the greatest things you can do to operate in joy is to stay in praise of the Lord. Dedicate some time where you can go before the Lord and just praise him. Doesn't matter how things are going around you, just praise him. Now, I want to close with this quick story. Years ago, I was driving down the highway. Things were just fine in my life. My marriage was in good shape. I loved my wife. She loved me. We had two beautiful children at the time. We now have four, so this has been a while. We had two beautiful children at the time. Things were going good. Had a good job. Had a good pay. Had good vehicles. Nice home. Everything was good. I knew I was right in the middle of the will of God. Well, one day I was driving down the road, and I just felt kind of bummed out, just kind of down. I wasn't depressed, just kind of down. And as I was driving down the road, I heard the Lord speak to me just real soft on the inside through my spirit. And he says, son, why are you down? I mean, this is just fellowship with the Lord. I mean, we're driving on the way to work having a cup of coffee with each other. And he says, son, why are you down? And I said, you know, Dad, I don't know. I don't know why I'm down. And he said, son, I'm going to show you. It's because you're focused more on your current situations than you are on me. Whenever you're focused more on what's going on around you than you are on me, your joy will deplete because you're focused more on the natural than you are on me. When he shared that with me, man, it jolted me right out of that situation. It was so deep of a revelation for me because there had been other times that I would just feel down for no reason, just kind of bummed out, and my wife would ask what's wrong. I'm like, man, I don't know. Or maybe, you know, other people, sometimes you see them and you ask them, hey, what's wrong? You're like, I don't know, I just feel kind of down today. Just kind of a gloomy day when it's not a gloomy day at all. Why? Because you're focused more on the world than you are on Christ. You know, it doesn't mean that things have to be going bad around you. But check yourself. Is the music you're listening to, are you focusing more on the music you're listening to? Maybe more on the type of TV you're watching? Maybe it's the conversations from the people around you. The world is filled with negativity. And when you focus more on that than you do on the Lord, you're going to lose your joy because it's going to pull you down like a weight. Because those things are not meant to edify or build you up. Focusing on God and his character, that builds you up. Guys, I hope you enjoyed today's study on the fruit of joy. We want to tell you that you can find this resource and all of our resources on our website at neilreyes.com. Those are available to stream 24 hours a day at no cost. In addition, we want to invite you to connect with us on our social media. You can find us on our YouTube channel, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter. We invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. It makes it easy for you to stay connected. We release these teachings every day. We release 5 of these a week. In addition to that, it allows you to easily share it from there if you're logged into your other social media, so you can share it on your social media and start ministering to your friends as well. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that if there's a subject you want to learn about or something you have questions about, go to our webpage and go to the contact page, and as you do, send us a quick form. We'll go before the Lord and pray about those items and teach on them as we're led. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you. So do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Power on.
Hallelujah. Pastor Peaches?
Yes, it's 802. Any questions, comments?
He said a mouthful. Not nothing that I hadn't heard before, but it's good for confirmation. The pastor has said, watch what you say out your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And don't highlight the problem, but you highlight the problem solver. And that gives you joy. It stirs your pot.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a downer when you speak negative. Your words have power, yes. Negative and positive. So you have to think, like he said the other day, before you speak. Mm-hmm. Because you have to build yourself up on the inside, your inner man. So it will come out of your mouth and up of your heart as well. And then you act that way. You act in a loving way because it's part of you. Because your heart, mind, and spirit are in sync together. Mm-hmm. Like you got to have gas and everything else to run the car. So, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, get it all together so we can look like a well-oiled machine. And I think I heard, too, how depression is developed because the person has stayed in that gully of depression or focusing on what has gone wrong or what's bothering them, as opposed to using hooks that will be hooked to the word of God and to music and to things that are uplifting. They stay down there too long. Uh-huh. Then it becomes a lifestyle of depression. Uh-huh. And it's a gully. It gets deeper and deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. May I interject, Pastor
Peaches? Yes, sir. Go ahead, Pastor.
Okay. Because, you know, depression is the absence of hope. That means that we're paying more attention to what is pulling us down than what can
bring us up,
what can deliver us. And as we've shared before, you know, you don't focus in on the problem. You focus in on the solution.
Amen.
And I don't know if did y'all get those scriptures now. Nehemiah 8:10
and Psalm
8 and 10. Psalms 28:7.
Psalm 28:7.
28 and 7, Psalms.
And he alluded to Psalms 18:21, death and life is in the power of the tongue. You know, he alluded to that as well. He didn't mention it, but he alluded to that. We got to be careful of what we're focusing on. And I've said many times, y'all heard me say it, you done said it again. Don't saute, marinate, ruminate, meditate. Focus on the negative. You can't help but get depressed because that stuff takes you down.
Mm-hmm.
You got to focus on what's going to lift you up, what's going to take you higher, what's going to give you life, what's going to give you breath, what's going to give you hope, what's going to give you, glory to God, healing, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Don't focus on the sickness, focus on the healing. Boy.
Pastor, what you say out your mouth is important. Like when you read the word, if you say the word out in, you know, speak it out loud as you're reading, it goes into your ear gate as well as your eye gate, and it complements each other. So what you're saying, you're listening to yourself, and we should take time to listen to ourselves and what we're talking about or what we're saying, because it does go out in the atmosphere, and it's so important. Because we can say, we speak negative things to ourselves, or I'm so dumb, I'm so stupid, or, you know, things like that. And you should not say those things, even though you may not mean it from your heart. Your mouth has put it into the atmosphere, and your ear heard it.
Mm-hmm. And it's so important. You know, we've taught several times, we've taught that what you say will come back to you, but it's going to come back multiplied.
Mm-hmm.
It's a boomerang. And see, I'm not just sharing these words because it's nice to say it and it has a catchy phraseology or way we put it together. It's just as real what we're talking about. And a lot of folks are hung up because of their words. I remember a lot of times I would go fishing and instead of I had my reel, trying to throw it out in the water, and I hook up on the gator fence behind me, and it gets hooked up. I never would get fed if I was dependent on eating the fish that I catch. If I'm all hooked up in stuff behind me, stuff that's gonna you're not gonna be profitable for me. I don't know no fish that's on a roadway or on a fence. It's got to be where you can have life, where something can build you up, that you can the resource, the solution to. I'm hungry. I want some fish so I can eat. So you throw it in the water. And that's where you're focusing on catching fish. Instead of, I haven't caught a fish all day. Well, is your hook still hooked up to the fence behind you? In front of you, buddy. I just thank God for this teaching. And I truly would love for to get this teaching. Because it's life-saving and life-changing. There are a lot of folks who think that they got it all already. They don't need to hear no more. They've been in church for 40, 50 years, and they don't need to hear no more because they done heard it. Are you living it? If you aren't living it, then you need to hear it again until it gets down in your heart.
It'll refresh you.
Tell you, Lord have mercy.
Mm-hmm. Ding, 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 ding.
Okay, well, we're finished. I'm only doing three, unless you want to hear Joy again. Do y'all want to hear Joy again?
We did love and joy. Okay, can I make a comment? When you were talking about the thoughts and depression, you know, and when we don't, what came to my mind is when we don't pull down those thoughts, you know, and we allow them to stay there,
them little toeholds, some of them footholds, mm-hmm. some of them strongholds, after a while, the longer you keep them, leave them there, it's hard, it makes it harder to get rid of them. And the enemy, I believe, is excited. He said, I got him there. I got him there. And it's hard. Because that's the while you're thinking about it, and you don't, and then one thought leads to another,
leads to another. Mm-hmm.
Before you know it, get ready to go somewhere. Because you allow them thoughts to stay a little bit too long.
They linger. Mm-hmm. I think Joyce Myers has said something about watch what you're thinking about. Think about what you're thinking about. Pull it under submission.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I preached a sermon one time. Be careful. Think about what you're thinking about. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I have George Myers teaching on that. But you got to think what you're thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be thinking about the right stuff, because everything you think, mm-hmm. everything you say, everything you do are seeds are planted in your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Some people,
you have to judge
other people and we plant them in our garden.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't the right
seed. Exactly.
On somebody else's stuff, growing it in our garden, we find out that what they gave us was weeds.
conversation and you know it's negative, is not doing you any good, realize you're not a trash can for trash. So get out of the atmosphere. You know, you have to purposely set up power stations in your day that will empower your mind, heart, mind, and spirit. Because life, that you're going through the city, you hear things, you see things, but when you keep your mind stayed on Jesus, what can I do to keep my mind stayed on Jesus? Putting Bible verses on your car dashboard, on the refrigerator, in your house. And even I purposely would buy art that I could put in my house that had the word of God on it or was positive. My daughter got a new job. I gave her a plaque. Oh, I love that plaque. I gave her a plaque to put on her wall in her office to keep her motivated. When she looked up, she put her eyes on it and had to keep it going, you know, because so many darts are thrown at us all day long. You've got to plan to win. So you got to strategize and prepare. This is war. You don't lay down and sleep all day. You got to be thinking all the time. You got to be planning all the time. And if you know you have a certain weakness towards something else, if you know you like Snicker bars, don't go over there where they sell a Snicker bar. Go where they sell fruit. Okay.
That's why it's so significant that this ministry has captured the essence of dealing with wristbands that have scriptures and the addresses.
A word. Amen. Having a word on it.
So some people going through that, they'll put the wristband on and then they go and do something. They got something mm-hmm. right handy. They look down at their wristband. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord calls his face to
mm-hmm.
An injection of the Holy Spirit in your life, in
mm-hmm.
that and that's
Jesus' dog bag.
every that the co-worker in this ministry ought to have some wristbands to give out. Because it's we just got another shipment of 360 wristbands.
And I still have bags of fives that we're going to put, we can sell out at the picnic as well.
That's
and
right.
Individuals. Get them, we're going to get them coming and going. No excuses. And it's nothing more rewarding, Pastor, than to walk through a place that you frequent and people go, I got my word on.
Praise God.
And that's awesome. That is just awesome. And one of them said, well, my writing is coming off. You got another one? Because they had it for so long, you know. And I said, Lord, you make it a way of life.
Thank you.
Everywhere you go, I just grab a handful of them. Because, see, I've been doing this over 2 years, giving out those wristbands. I'm just so glad, Pastor, that we're using it as one of our signature witnessing tools, because that's what God told me when I started doing it. And it has been so powerful. And I didn't realize the power of it until we started doing it as a unit in a group and hearing the testimonies that have come back from, you know, us getting out the word of God.
Yes.
It's been so beautiful. Just so beautiful. And like I think I told you, Peace, I gave the wristband to a man and I walked away to get in the car. He came back. He said, Miss, can you pray for me? He would have never said that if I hadn't given him the wristband and, you know, had the unction to pray.
Thank you.
I said, Lord, I find you, you know, because it opens up a door because everybody is hungry and we've got living water right there in our hands. He said, those who win souls are cunning and wise. So we have to look for creative and variety of ways to show the light to different people, no matter where you are, whether it's on a playground, a market, gas station, whatever. But our mindset is to win a soul a day or family a day, whatever. But that should be on our minds all the time.
Planting seeds. The wristbands are seeds. Did you know that?
That's right. That's right.
Yes, yes.
8:11 and Mark 4:14, that the word of God is seed.
Yes, it's a seed. That's me, Pastor.
Replanting seed. Folks are going to start realizing this. That's why God is preparing us for the building.
Yes.
When we open up the building, I'm going to tell you, folk will come from far and wide.
Amen.
I told y'all I got a phone call from the 409 area code, and I said, "Who's the 409?" I asked Siri, "What's 409?" And I said, "That's East Texas. Could be Beaumont, blah blah blah. I've forgotten the other cities." I said,
"Wow,
God is doing something."
Yes, he is. It's marvelous in our eyes.
One of the instruments, a co-worker in the kingdom. Is that all right?
Yes.
Thank you. That's why
I'm working for the kingdom.
Co-workers in the kingdom. I'm not, you know, we're
Thank
not. We're looking for co-workers in the kingdom.
Yes.
By prayer. I used to pray for faithful members and this, that, and that. I want a co-worker in the kingdom. That's what my prayer is. Co-worker in the kingdom. Lord,
I like that. I like that, Pastor. Yes.
I don't even know. The only time I'll probably use the word member would be in a testimony, because it ain't about members. It's about co-workers in the kingdom. It ain't about
members.
If it was, Christianity would have died out, because Jesus had 12 disciples that stayed with him. Started up with 72, ended up with 12.
Good Lord.
The world. Wow. My.
And Pastor, also, co-worker means you're not alone. You have other people that are working with you.
Right. Yes.
We're changing the nomenclature. We're changing the modus operandi. Glory to God. That Lord is taking us up higher. And I just thank God.
Yes, he is.
Y'all keep praying for us, okay? Y'all just keep praying for us, because I ain't playing this stuff. I am not playing.
Yes.
I ain't playing church. And folk ought to know by now, I ain't playing church.
Mm-mm. But, Pastor, it feels like every time we're together, he drops nuggets of knowledge, and it's so powerful. Each one is so powerful, and we keep building upon it. And it just feels like we're building a glory kingdom or something, you know, just gets bigger and better and best.
I want to tell you something. It's going to get to a point where our co-workers in the kingdom will walk into a room and there's a cloud of glory that walks in with them, and people will be able to see it. So what's that cloud around you? What's that bright light around you? Somebody touched by an angel? You're the angel, you're telling me who, and the light. That's what's going down because of the truth that God is sharing with us, because of the word that God is opening up to us.
Yes, yes.
And the Bible says in Matthew that he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness,
shall be filled.
And I keep asking, because it's not about Earl Burns. I have to ask God, I said, what's my nugget for the day? Sometimes a minute before nugget time, I don't know what the nugget is. I've got to ask God. I keep asking, what's the nugget?
It's right on, spot on.
Y'all just don't know how I depend on the Lord for this stuff.
Mm.
I got to lean on
that's
him.
That's wonderful.
God for co-workers such as y'all.
Right.
Amen, amen.
Leaning on the Lord, yes.
My socks off.
Amen.
Sometimes if I put it this way, tears would be coming down my eyes if I just let go because of
amen.
Work and all the love that y'all are showing to God.
And yes.
What y'all doing. I just thank God for y'all. Y'all just don't know. Y'all just don't know. And I just want others to catch the fire. I want
yes.
others to catch the vision. I'm tired of your folks just going to church.
That's one. That's right.
No more church as usual.
They're going to church and they don't take the Bible and they take the cell phone. They think that's it. The cell phone is not your Bible. It's a purveyor of anything that's put on the web, on the internet or whatever. When I say the Bible, I want somebody to be the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E.
Amen.
People are... They will know us. We're not ashamed. People say, trying to make you feel bad. Oh, he's carrying a Bible. He's trying to look so holy. No, I just need my word with me. It's my sword.
It's the sword. That's right.
I'm going to war.
That's right.
We're not going to take down because of somebody, an unsaved, unregenerated person, is complaining, oh, he's trying to look holy. Oh, well, it's time for you to be holy. You're talking about them. You need to be holy. Turn yourself over to Christ. Let you be a new Christian. But anyway, I thank God for this teaching. It's right in order, because when we finish this teaching, then we're ready to go back to the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And I believe that we will see it.
Thank you, Lord.
After we go through this teaching.
Have to. Can't come in contact with the Lord and stay the same. We're growing and going and going.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah.
On purpose.
Yeah, and what came to me was when we passed off the while people are so hungry and excited when they see the scripture on the wristband, it's because touches their heart. And it's ministering to them because they didn't already try so many other things.
That's right. Why not try Jesus?
And other things have not worked.
And we'd be giving them to the mobility vehicles. Is there people on the
everybody
on the bus too? Boy, they're so happy to receive.
Yep.
And the good thing is the fashion right now is wristbands. And we're right on time.
And we got wristbands, different colors and all kinds of stuff. Lord have mercy.
Yes, indeed.
I understand that sister, that the writing is coming off her wrist because she don't take it off when she takes a shower.
I hadn't thought about that.
Still,
praise the Lord.
First time I put it on, it's still there. So sooner or later, look here. If whether the writing's there or not, I know what it says. So I'll still look down and I'll see it even if it's gone. I'll see it in the eyes of my face. The Lord bless me. Hallelujah. Numbers
6:24.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. And Pastor, as you see, as we talk about this, it stirs up the joy of us knowing the power of what we've got to hold to, and we want to share it. We're acting out the lesson tonight because it is joyful to share. And iron sharpens iron, you know, because it dwells within us, because it's the character of Christ. And it just grows and grows and grows. It spills over into each one of us. Then we spill into other people. And it keeps us priming the pump.
Praise God.
That's what it's doing. It's priming the pump. The wristbands are seeds. And folk won't know why. I talked to a brother. When we went to the meeting, Pastor Peter's CMCB,
yeah.
And I told Kenneth Mitchell, because you hear me calling his name out, and I said, you know, we pray for you every day, almost every day we pray for you. He said, oh, that's why things have been going so well for me.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
That's why, yeah, because we pray for, I've mentioned his name.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Call his name out.
Call his name out loud. And he
awesome.
That's why things are going so well for me. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
And he can give God the glory.
as a prayer warrior. Because the Bible says, given it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken up, heaped up, and running over, so men give it to you for life. Manna you give, it shall be given to you again. And that's the manna. Now, what you give, because you're going to get that back multiplied. But it's the light manna, the attitude that you give. You just want to be a giver. I just want to be a giver. And God, that's why folk want to donate $20,000 to our ministry program.
No, that's right. We get into being. Amen. Amen. It's about a good work.
It ain't going to come from somebody we know. It's going to come from somebody we don't even know.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
I believe that people we meet sometimes that we give stuff to, they don't live here. They going all the way someplace else taking our wristbands with them.
I believe that, Pastor.
What was that? That's the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. And Pastor, last time we were down at Lexington Market, I met another pastor, a husband and wife. They were Caucasian, and they said, "Well, we're from the Powers House." I said, "So am I." You know, it was so funny. They were from a different part, but it was just good that we could stand there and talk about the Lord. And also, there were some people, you know, downtown, a lot of people are visiting from other countries and other places. And just what you said, there was a family standing on the corner. They were from Eastern Shore, someplace like that. And they were sort of reluctant to, you know, what is it you want, you know. And I just started talking about, oh, this is such a lovely family. You know, I came around the back door, right? By the time I left, everybody had a band on, okay? So, but it's all how you do it. It's all how you do it. Sit it right on down while I was talking. Started with the children first. But it's just a blessing. What you're saying is true. Other people are from other countries. You never know where they're coming from. Mm. We do what God tells us to do. Don't add to it. Don't take from it. And just act in love. I mean, who would not want a smiling face if something positive said to them when all the world and all the family around them are negative and no one's encouraging them? And we don't even know them. And we're willing to go that extent. Because now, you know, people are kind of halfway scared to talk to you. But when you come with a friendly voice, the Lord will show you what to say or tell you what to say. And you come with that engagement in your protocol, how you're carrying yourself. That is so important. It's like you said, people watch the way you handle yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And when you exhibit love.
And see, people can tell with who's real and who's authentic.
And who's not.
Perpetrating.
That's right.
And so true. They can watch us all day long, all night long. They can watch us. They can watch you. They can watch the folk in this ministry. And they know that we are authentic. We may not all be where we want to be. I know I'm not.
Amen. We better than we was.
And we had it.
Amen.
And deeper depths, and we want the truth. I'm not here to tickle people's ears and to make them feel good.
Right.
They go home. That's why every now and then I ask them, "What was the message? What title of the message last Sunday or whatever?" You know, just to make sure they're listening. You know, make sure that they're internalizing this stuff. Because I'm not just doing this for my health. I'm doing it for my glory to God. I want all of us to grow. Because heaven would be a lonely place if only one person is going there. Boy, it could be like
a echo.
Hello. Echo chamber because there's only one person there. No. folks to go with you. Is that right?
Amen.
We want to make them thirsty for what we have.
Amen.
And it opens the door for an opportunity. And it can come in many different ways.
They're going to see something on Saturday. I'm excited to see myself.
We're looking for bigger, better, and best.
We pray. I know we got to end.
Yeah.
God's blessing activity, the event on Saturday, that it will cause people to say, Lord, forgive me for my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Or people say, Lord, take me back. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Right. You know, right. Amen.
The gift that was sitting in the pew.
Thank you, Jesus.
One of the chosen frozen. The light of fire under them.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And my prayer is that nobody leaves the same. Everybody's going to be different.
Amen, amen, amen.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, bless God. Thank you all so much, all of you.
Hey. Pastor, this is wonderful, Pastor. Wonderful. We got joy. We got love. We'll keep on building on it.
Don't build on it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How is the process?
Your co-workers in the kingdom.
Thank God for Psalms 28:7. We thank God for Psalms 18:21. We thank God for 1 Corinthians 13:4-8.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Nehemiah 8:10.
Amen. Yes.
So praise the Lord.
The word. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for every one on this call tonight. We thank you, Lord, for every family represented. We thank you, Lord, for meeting every need in abundance, super abundantly above, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the overflow. Mm. We thank you, Lord, for more abundant life. Mm. We thank you, Lord, for more than enough. We bless your name today. We acknowledge you, O God. We praise your name. We bless your name. We glorify your name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Appalling and present a faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
See you in a few hours.
Remember this? God loves you. We love
you.
Nothing you can do about it.
Hallelujah.
I don't want to do nothing about it.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
See y'all tomorrow night.
Tomorrow morning.
In the morning.
See you in the morning first. See you in a few hours. Then tomorrow night.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Peace to the Lord.
God bless.
Play Gloria.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Power on.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Connected.
Get your hands off tonight. Come on.
Everybody, love you now.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.